Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Wednesday. Congratulations, my friends. We, as a country, have achieved something that was never before heard of in the history of the world. As a collective body, we have risen to new heights. Our forefathers could have only dreamed about the mountains that we would create and then climb. We need only now to reach the summit and then tumble in a slew of somersaults down the other side. As we leapt past January 1st of 2024, unbeknownst to most of us, we marked yet another national milestone. $34 trillion in debt. That's trillion with a T. That's 122% of every nickel, dime, and penny that's generated in this country. You would think that a headline such as this would be front page for every newspaper, magazine, and online news outlet in this country. But as I perused the news this morning, I only found one mention of it. In all places, the Pravda on the Platte. Don't get your panties in a wad about this whole thing. They buried it on page A3. And I quote, "The Congressional Budget Office's January 2020 projections had gross federal debt eclipsing $34 trillion in the fiscal year of 2029. However, the debt grew faster than expected because of the COVID-19 pandemic that started in 2020 and shut down much of the United States economy. The government borrowed heavily under then-President Donald Trump and current President Joe Biden to stabilize the economy and support a recovery, but the rebound came with a surge of inflation." End quote. Many states, including our own, cannot incur debt. They have a so-called balanced budget statute. But that doesn't mean we don't participate in the federal debt. Every United States state is addicted to federal spending. Who could forget this old classic?
I don't think anybody in this room doubts that the United States Congress is out of control. But that said, if we were to vote down this allocation of funds and tell the chief executive that we're not going to spend a dime of this money, send it all back to Washington, D.C., are your gas prices still going to be high tomorrow?
That was Natrona County Representative Art Washup. How about this one?
Why would we say that we've paid all of this taxpayer money to the federal government only to say that we shouldn't receive the services for that taxpayer money here?
Classic. Just classic. But in his defense, that was Mike Yin, a Democrat. Don't blame him. He's programmed that way. But the truth is that every state and all of us have played a role in the $34 trillion in debt that we've racked up. If you can imagine it, things are actually a heck of a lot worse than being in debt $34 trillion. Just $34 trillion. The truth is that we've just been printing money. 22% of that debt was just created out of thin air. There's absolutely nothing to back it up. Or, as then-Representative Chuck Gray put it 2 years ago,
So it's not taxpayer funds. It's printed, and it's just funny money. It's just being printed and, you know, thrown out of a helicopter, basically.
The entire gross national product, every single dime that we make, is only $27 trillion. And on a state level in Wyoming, even though we have $27 billion in the bank, we still accept federal funds. And the truth is, they're not federal funds anyway. The federal government doesn't have their own money. It's all our money. Or more appropriately, it's all of our money mixed together with a whole bunch of monopoly money that didn't exist before and was never made. It was just printed so our politicians could continue to spend and spend and spend. There's a really good example of what I'm talking about happening in Sheridan right now. Sheridan County has to expand the runway on the airport to accommodate more air travel. Really, the only thing they have to do is a whole bunch of paving. How many different things does every county in Wyoming pave in a given year? Lots of different things. Everything from parking lots to streets. And how many different paving contractors do you think are in a three-county radius of Sheridan, Wyoming? Probably around 10 or 20 or more. The first inclination of the Sheridan County Commissioners was not to seek out what the redcoat leadership in the Wyoming legislature likes to call Wyoming solutions for Wyoming problems. Instead, they first looked to the federal government, who was more than happy to reach into their stash of monopoly money and provide a grant, albeit with a couple of executive orders that were tied to it. Representative Ken Pendergraft pointed these out in a December 18th letter to the Sheridan County Commissioners, and I quote, "In reviewing a current grant application, I've noticed some changes to the process, specifically a list of assurances based upon executive orders from the Biden administration. These include, but are not limited to, Executive Order 12898, Environmental Justice, Executive Order 13985, Advanced Racial Equity, etc., Executive Order 13988, Discrimination on Gender Equity, and of course, Executive Order 14008, Tackling the Climate Crisis. With federal money comes federal strings. Strings that we'll find out later are way too onerous for us to put up with. Far too often, we submit ourselves to the yoke of the latest political whim from the latest administration, under the mistaken belief that it's better to spend other people's money, when in reality, it's our money. Or, more appropriately, it's our great-grandchildren's money. The bedeviling part of all of this is none of it was necessary in the first place, or at least in the case of the Sheridan County Airport. Representative Pendergraft's letter continues, and I quote, "The expansion of the GA apron is certainly needed, but I wonder how we might otherwise fund it. It is noted that, quote, increased private jet traffic and general aviation has strained the airport for enough ramp space. What portion of the cost should or may be borne by the private traffic that has created this issue? Are we able to charge fees in this instance, or are the taxpayers required to foot the bill for private jet owners? Perhaps money spent on other projects, such as the Brook Street conversion, would be better spent on essential infrastructure." End quote. That letter fell on deaf ears. And why should we expect any different? It doesn't matter how many times you explain destructive behavior to an addict. They won't realize you were right until they hit rock bottom, which is exactly where we're headed, on a speeding train that is not loaded with coal, but rather a mountain of debt, traveling at a speed of $1 million a minute, to the tune of $34 trillion, $4 billion. Well, today, anyway. There are some laws in physics that work the same way in economics. Albert Einstein theorized in special relativity that as your speed increases, so too does your mass. So as you theoretically approach the speed of light, your mass would become infinite, and thus you would not be able to travel faster than 186,000 miles per second. As the speed of our spending increases, so too does the weight of the debt that we carry. Eventually, we'll be unable to pull it, probably sooner rather than later. But there is an upside to all of this. The political bullcrap that created this mountain of debt is much more easily dispatched than the debt itself. Granted, the bill is going to become due at some point, but at least we can get rid of the politicians that created it in the first place. One way that we do that is by exposing them for who they are. And that starts by hearing and listening to the truth. There's a guy that's coming to Gillette this upcoming Saturday who participated in and was convicted of attending the January 6th riot. I don't condone or subscribe to many of the things that he did. However, Listening to his story and hearing what he has to say is part of learning the truth, a truth that has been hidden by our politicians in office, by the January 6th Commission, and unfortunately, by a former Wyoming representative. And I'll tell you about him in just a second. But first, an absolutely outrageous cowboy state politics profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a roping arena, or maybe you need a giant warehouse for your business, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. They really are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. And to prove it, you'll receive a 50-year warranty on the foundation, which is something that you're not going to get from any of their competitors. The reason that they can do this is they set the building on concrete pillars and then insert a steel beam inside the concrete. So there's no way that water can get down underneath your foundation and ruin it. So if you need any type of metal structure, give Nick and Jesse a call. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Gunrunner Auctions is one of the nation's leading online auction houses, and they're celebrating their 26th year. Scott Weber, the owner, specializes in estate firearms. The first thing he does is he travels to the estate and then appraises the firearms for the heirs. He then takes them to his Cody auction facility, where he and his team research them, sometimes getting factory letters from the Cody Museum about each firearm's history. Every month, beginning on the 7th, Scott and his team post 500 fine firearms for sale. Winchesters, Colts, rare military weapons, hard-to-find ammunition, and firearm accessories. So if you're looking for a firearm or ammunition or a firearm accessory, go to GunrunnerAuctions.com. You're sure to find what you're looking for, or maybe some things that you didn't know that you needed. That's GunrunnerAuctions.com. And now, back to the program. Welcome back to the program. Cowboy State Politics is Wyoming's most listened to podcast, closing in on a quarter of a million downloads. And to think, I was pretty excited when the Casper Star Tribune published that Cowboy State Politics had 800 downloads. It seems like a lifetime ago. Well, before the break, I was telling you that the way that we expose politicians is by hearing the truth, both sides. It's often said that there are three sides to every story. There's your side, there's my side, and then somewhere in the middle is the truth. On the three-year anniversary of the January 6th riot, and make no mistake, it was a riot, not an insurrection. Webster's 1828 defines riot as, in a general sense, tumult, uproar, hence technically in law, a riotous assembling of 12 persons or more, and not dispersing upon proclamation. The definition of riot must depend on the laws. In Connecticut, the assembling of 3 persons or more to do an unlawful act by violence against the person or property of another, and not dispersing upon proclamation, is declared to be a riot. An insurrection is an attempt to overthrow the government, and if that were true, it was the most poorly organized, poorly executed, poorly armed insurrection in the history of the world. Not to mention, the people involved in the riot, not the FBI that was there to incite people, but everybody else, were not really the caliber of people that would try to forcibly take over a government. Many of them were just tourists, like the grandma that's sitting in a jail somewhere awaiting trial for just trespassing on restricted grounds of the Capitol. No matter how you view what happened on January 6th of 2021 in Washington, D.C., whether you think it was an insurrection or merely just a riot, the only way that we find out the truth is by listening to both sides of the argument. We've heard a lot from one side, Liz Cheney and the January 6th Commission. We've heard relatively little from the other side. The Congressional January 6th Commission, prosecutors, and everybody surrounding those in power have tried to keep everything about what actually happened on January 6th pretty much top secret, in the hopes that all of us will just believe the official narrative. Why else did they pretty much ignore President Donald Trump when he said, peacefully and patriotically, go to the Capitol? Here's that one.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our elections, but whether or not they stand strong for our country.
Nowhere in there did he say storm the Capitol. About the only person that was doing that was Ray Epps, and he has pretty much been protected through this whole January 6th committee thing. One group of people who has decided that they do want to hear the other side of the story is the Campbell County Republican Party. On the third anniversary of the January 6th riot, the Campbell County Republican Party is hosting a talk from January 6th convicted participant Cooey Griffin. Trotsky Wolfson of the Cowpie wrote an uncharacteristically fair article about the event. Quote, on the political spectrum, some consider January 6, 2021, the protest at the U.S. Capitol, an insurrection against the U.S. government, while others defend those who stormed the Capitol as patriots whose prosecution for their involvement in it is unjust. Count the leadership of the Campbell County Republican Party in the patriot camp. The group will host Cooey Griffin, a man who was convicted for his participation in the January 6th event, as its guest speaker on the third anniversary of the event on January 6th, 2024, as a party fundraiser entitled A January 6th Prisoner's Story. End quote. As you might have guessed, there are members of the Campbell County Republican Party that disagree with the leadership's decision to host Mr. Griffin. Among those is Tom Lovenow. He said he's disappointed that the party has invited Griffin to the event and believes January 6th set a dangerous precedent in American history in handling the peaceful transition of power after presidential elections. Quote, I think it's a shame that we place convicted criminals on a pedestal and let them speak, Lovenow said. Frankly, Tom Lovenow has done more to harm the state of Wyoming than anybody currently in the Campbell County Republican Party, or probably anybody in any elected position in the state right now. Tom Lovenow presided over a House of Representatives that tried its best to spend us into oblivion. Tom Lovenow is the same guy that sued the Wyoming Republican Party for following the law in replacing the superintendent of public instruction after a vacancy appeared. He's another one of these dishonest redcoats that's just a Democrat that can't spell. Regardless of which camp you're in, whether you think that January 6th was the ultimate threat to our democracy and will shake our republic to its very foundations, or if you see it for what it was, an ill-advised, ill-planned, ill-executed riot. I'm going to try to attend, just so I can hear what the guy has to say. If you want to go listen to him, it's going to be at the Heritage Center Theater in Gillette from 3 to 5. If nothing else, it ought to give you an interesting perspective on the whole January 6th thing. Well, that'll about do it for today's installment of Cowboy State Politics. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Saturday during Weekend Update. Make sure that you follow and subscribe to the program. You can do that from the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. And don't miss my live radio program every weekday morning from 9 to 11 on the Independence Network. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.